thank you for listening to this show that we've been playing this last year and a half. We have a very special guest with us tonight, Sanatam Kaur. And she also has brought her family and friends to be with her. She's going to introduce them for us. And so good evening, Sanatam Kaur, and how are you?
Good evening, David. I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you so much for having us. I'm joined by my beloved mother, Prabhunam Kaur, and Hargobind Singh, who will be playing tabla with us, and Siddhi Kartar Singh on the guitar. And we're here to chant and to be with you in this time dedicated to healing.
Well, thank you very much. And what we're doing here on these our traditional healers forums is that we're bringing in traditional healers from around the world and different traditions. And so this is sort of our first adventure in that direction this year, and we're going to be expanding upon that. And so that, you know, if there is a traditional healer out there in our community that would like to be on this show, you know, please phone in, send me a email, and would be love to share your wisdom. We're going to start this show with an opening prayer. We always start our traditional healers forums with an opening prayer. And so let us begin on this lovely hour and a half show with our special guests. May there be a healing for all of you. Ancient ones, ancestors, spirits of the other world, we ask you to come be here with us. The wisdom keepers, the teachers, the healers, the visionaries, the dream keepers, come, we're here. We ask you to bring your presence so that we can better ourselves, each one of us individually. We ask you to help us so that we can be with our families in that good way. We ask you to come so that we can build our communities again. We know that there are some out there tonight that living on the street, maybe not a roof over their head. We ask you, ancient ones, to find them a room, find them a place, give them some comfort. We know that there's some out there that maybe didn't have enough food to feed their children with, and we ask you, ancient ones, to come and provide some nourishment for these families that are in need. And we know that there are some of you out there that are suffering maybe from a disease, maybe a sickness of the body. We ask those ancient healers to come and provide some healing salve on those wounds of yours. And we know that some of you have lost a loved one. And we want those ancient ones, those wisdom keepers, to come and give some comfort to your soul. With that, we're going to ask all of you to come together tonight as one people, with one mind, with one heart, as we venture into this ancient Sikh tradition of chanting, yoga, meditation, so that we can all walk out of here tonight when the show's over feeling better than when the show started. So shall it be in our minds. Thank you. So we have Sanatam Kaur here. She's toured the world sharing chants from the Sikh tradition through concerts and workshops. Her CDs have topped the New Age music charts since 2004. As a certified Kundalini yoga instructor, Sanatam Kaur incorporates the practice of sacred chant, yoga, and meditation in her teaching, giving people daily tools and self-empowerment to experience deep healing and transformation. My goodness, what a pleasure, Sanatam.
Yes, it was a miracle that got us here.
Yes, and there were some miracles tonight, weren't there?
Yeah, quite a few here at KPFA.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so there might be some people out there who would like to know a little bit about you and your past and In particular, the Sikh tradition that you practice. When did this healing journey of yours begin?
Well, this journey for me began when I was born. I was born into this way of life in 1969. A man by the name of Yogi Bhajan came from India and started helping people to get off of drugs through the practice of Kundalini Yoga and meditation. And people that wanted to open their hearts and wanted to experience higher consciousness, but the drugs weren't working for them. And he gave the technology of Kundalini Yoga and meditation and lifestyle for people and really literally saved thousands of lives. And so many people back in the 60s got inspired to study with him, including my parents. And not only did he teach about yoga and meditation, but he also taught about the Sikh way of life. And my parents were among those that embraced that way of life as well. So I was really born into all of this in Colorado. The Sikh tradition itself comes from northern India. But I grew up with the music and the tradition of the Sikh way of life and connection with the sacred path, which was a miracle, really, and a blessing. And it's because of the work of Yogi Bhajan. And he left his body just recently in 2004, but left a legacy of teachings, Kundalini Yoga, for people of all walks of life. And that's really the tradition and the lineage that I serve and, you know, have the blessing to continue to teach what he shared with people.
And your Sikh practice, for some of us who don't know what that is, what it looks like, could you share just a little bit about your practice?
Yeah, it's a journey for me. Sikh itself means one who continuously learns. And the Sikh way of life began in the 15th century with a saint named Guru Nanak. And he came at a time when the caste system was really strong in India, and also the ruling Mughal Empire was very aggressively trying to convert people to their religion. And so this intense time of injustice and tyranny, and he came and began a new way of life where there was no caste system, where there was where all walks of life were accepted. And this is the basic foundation, Ik Onkar, God is one and the creator of all, in the Sikh way of life. And he taught through poems and songs. And as he traveled on foot through village after village after village, his teachings and his energy were retained in the hearts through his poems and poetry. And these poems were collected, and then he was followed by 9 additional gurus or masters. He was Guru Nanak, and then followed by 9 additional masters who also contributed poems and sacred writings as well. And then finally the 10th master, when he was leaving his body, instead of appointing a human successor, he gave the guruship to this collection of writings of the previous gurus, in addition to other saints of the time. And so the core Sikh practice is really to recite these sacred words. And as a musician, that's the core of my music as well, to recite these words. And the words themselves have a very potent healing energy to them. They were originally recited in that journey of human consciousness merging with universal consciousness. And so as we chant them, we also traverse the same pathways and have that opening of universal consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And from what I understand also, that there's a real equality of men and women in the Sikh tradition.
Yes. Definitely in the history, in the traditional history. In modern day, we, as many people do, we still struggle with that. But in our history itself, there are many Sikh women who played an important role. Bibi Bani, the wife of the fourth Guru of the Sikhs, was incredible in her capacity to serve her husband, who was the Guru, and give birth to the fifth Guru to raise a child of God. And so woman as an integral part of the family, bringing consciousness through her work as mother, as daughter, as granddaughter, she gave this incredible example of that as well. And we also have a woman Sikh warrior named Mai Bago, who actually fought. And that's another part of the Sikh way of life that I didn't mention before, is that we're warriors as well. We have in our history had to stand up for religious freedom, not only for the Sikh way of life, but for the people of many walks of life in the region in India at that time. So we have a martial art of the swords, and Mai Bago was this incredible woman warrior who led armies into the battlefield.
So. Ancient activists.
Yes.
Good for you.
That's right. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Good examples.
Very, very engaged in the community.
Yes. Yeah. The Sikh way of life, when we gather, we chant together and sing and then we always eat. And this is a great, great practice. It's a great, I've grown up with this meal sharing. And at the Golden Temple itself, which is the most sacred Sikh temple, there's over 10,000 people served every day of every walk of life. So this is this idea of free food. And the food is open to, it's free and an offering for anyone to come after we've had our spiritual experience together.
And so. Also the other thing that I've always admired is your sense of community, but more than that, also family.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very family oriented.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the Yogi Bhajan really put in a lot of energy to, as he taught Kundalini Yoga and meditation, to giving teachings for children, children's yoga, teachings for women, teachings for couples to have a more uplifted relationship. The idea of family on a spiritual path is actually a doorway to liberation. There is, of course, meditating on your own and living a celibate life and living that way. And so in the Sikh way of life, we have family, we have this, but we incorporate our spiritual life into all of that. And so, yes, you know, as a mother myself, I went through some of my most incredible and deep and transformational spiritual experiences as a mother, and learned so much from that, and feel so grateful to have that experience of children bringing light into your life as well.
When I was in my 30s, early 30s, I lived in a Buddhist temple in Japan under the tutelage of Nichidatsu Fuji, who was one of the great leaders with Mahatma Gandhi during the revolution there. And so that in living with the monks in the temples, Guruji always said that our place isn't in the temple, it's out in the streets helping the people. And so I always admired him for that, because it was such social consciousness in a spiritual base. And it seems like spirituality in our traditional cultures is really the center stone for all that follows that. And so your spiritual practice as a Sikh, what does that look like? I know in the temple in Japan, much to my sleepy eyes, we had to get up at 4 a.m. and we'd be chanting for 2 hours. And it was a chant, which somewhat similar to yours. In the Buddhism, there's chanting, which is more of a yang or fire kind of energy. And then there's more the Zen, which is more of a sitting quiet contemplative, what we say in the Chinese medicine, more yin. Mm-hmm. And so that you have this chanting, and then we have the 2 hours of chanting at night from 5 to 7. So in a day's time, there's 4 hours of chanting. And I'm just wondering, in your practice, what does your spiritual practice look like?
Well, yeah, we start at 4 o'clock in the morning, too. And a nice cold shower. It's so awesome. We just got our cold shower fixed in our house, and I'm elated. I love it. And we do recitations and also yoga and then chanting as well with music. Mm-hmm. And then throughout the day, I put on a turban. If anybody's seen me, I wear a turban. And
I noticed.
And this is to take that spiritual awakening of the morning. It's an incredible experience to chant this way, as I'm sure you've experienced, mm-hmm. to take that awakening and then bring it into your day, and remember as you look in the mirror, you say, yeah, I'm a spiritual person here. And mm-hmm. Yogi Bhajan, my teacher, said a beautiful thing. He said, we're not human beings here to have a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings here to have a human experience.
Oh, wonderful.
And, yeah, and our day is much like that, you know, going to work, all of those things. We also do special prayers as well when the sun sets. So as the sun rises and the sun sets, our teacher said are the most powerful times to meditate and transform your consciousness. And then in my family at home, we do our prayers just as we're going to bed, to let go of the dramas and traumas of the day so you can heal yourself and relax into a peaceful sleep.
You know, in listening to you, Sanatam, the thing that really catches my ear, and again, I've had the privilege to study with healers from around the world, and every tradition that I've come in contact with talks about the sunrise and the sunset. Mm-hmm. And those, and some of the teachings, they also say at high noon, those three times. But the sunrise and the sunset, those two powerful times of the day that somehow here in our modern culture, what's happening? You know, why have the masses abandoned that which has been passed down through the thousands of years as the two most important times of day? And why have we've been so accepting to let that go and maybe find us in the dilemma that we're in today.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, I think let's move forward. And I think that maybe you're going to want to share a chant with us tonight, or maybe a few. Mm-hmm. And so this is David Kukla. At KPFA on the traditional healers from the four corners of the world. And our special guest, Sanatam Kaur, she's with us, and she's going to be singing some or chanting here throughout the show. And at some point in time, she's also going to be teaching a chant to all of us, those willing. And so with that, here's Sanatam Kaur.
Nam Karta Purg Nirbo Nirve Akamurat Ajuni Sabang Guru Prasad Jab Adasach Juga Adasach Have such Nanuk hosi be such Guru Guru Wahe Guru Guru Ram Das Guru 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 Wahe Guru Guru Ram Das Guru
Core. Thank you. This is David Kukla with the traditional healers from the four corners of the world here at the Mothership here in Berkeley, California, KPFA. I want to thank all of you, the listeners out there who have been sponsoring this program and this radio station over the years so that we can bring you these kind of programs. And so we're going to continue on now and also want to remind all of you that this is a live show and that we are taking call-ins. The phone number is 510-848-4425 so that if any of you have a comment or a question you'd like to ask me or Sanatam Kaur about your journey, your healing practice, if we can be of any help, that's why we're here tonight. And so 510-848-4425, if you call in, they'll hold you on the line. And towards the end of the show, we'll be taking those telephone calls. And so we talked just a little bit earlier tonight about the Sikh tradition. And Sanatam was sharing with us some of their practices. And I think that the direction I'd like to go is just chanting. And for some people, they have no idea. They hear it. I know a lot of repetition What is this chanting all about? Why? What is its medicine? Another question, how does it heal? If we can maybe, let's venture in that direction maybe for the next 15 minutes. And I know I don't have all the answers, and I'm not going to assume that you do either. But why don't we talk about chanting and the importance of it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a life journey for me to understand the power of chanting. And, you know, at night, before I go to bed, I chant, and I just chant until the energy clears, you know, and I just do it, and it works. It works every time, and it's a beautiful experience. But I didn't really understand the power of chanting until I started to really, you know, get it out there and teach, and through the music that we've created, the chanting kind of got out there to people that maybe wouldn't normally walk into a yoga class, let's say, you know. So I had this one experience that I want to share tonight. I got a letter in the email. This was a couple years ago, but it really illustrated to me the power of chanting. This woman's husband had gone to Iraq, and he had come back and had been through drama and trauma, and but he couldn't cry. He couldn't talk about it. He was just locked up, and she was in a mess about it. And somehow somebody had given her our music and gave her this chant, which I'm going to teach in a little bit in this program. Rama Dasa gave her the music for that, and she'd been listening to it and experienced some healing within her, and somehow got her husband to listen to it. And for the first time, he just listened to it for a few minutes, and for the first time he was able to cry. He was able to cry in that moment. And, you know, chanting, the words that we're chanting are sacred vibrations that essentially are positive affirmations of the light within you, of your capacity to be loving, of your capacity to be kind, of your capacity to be courageous, because the divine is within you and the divine is you. And that's what these chants do, and they bring that energy. And, you know, they're mantras, we call them mantra. Man is mind and tra is the projection. And a lot of people say mantra, and then mantra is the way to say it. And, you know, in our minds, we have a lot of mantras going on, you know, repetitions of thought patterns, really. And a lot of them are damaging and discouraging and disempowering. I'm not worthy of this. I can't do that. I deserve what I'm getting, or, you know, these kind of repetitive negative pattern thoughts. So mantra is really just filling your mind with positive affirmations that, yes, I deserve happiness. Yes, I deserve light. I deserve love. And what happens is that even if you don't consciously know it, you're beginning to replace those energy patterns in your mind, and you're beginning to attract love. You're beginning to attract light. You're beginning to maneuver your life and live in such a way that you really are light. You really are love. And it starts within the mind, and that's the place where these mantras do a lot of their work. But it's also about heart and body and just connecting with your spirit as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've always said that if we could only understand that words have the power to heal, and they also have the power to kill. Mm-hmm. And so it's sort of that for those little ones out there. I want to be talking to my little grandchildren right now to be careful with those words that you say to, you know, your brother. Mm-hmm. Say, be careful with those words that you say to your sister. And because those words, there's energy in those words. There's power in them. And what I heard you say, Sanatam, is to look at the thought that precedes the word.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mantra is the thought that precedes the word, and that in these repetitions of these what we call sacred words, I'll use that word, these sacred words within yourself, that there's some medicine in there.
Yeah.
Hidden medicine.
Exactly.
But proven.
Yeah. It works.
Empirical proof.
Yeah, it works like clockwork. Like, it works amazingly. I've done concert after concert in so many different places, and I see people come in, what is this music, their arms crossed or stressed out, and, and halfway through, the body posture shifts. There's a relaxation. Mm-hmm. By the end, it's like, wow, I feel so much joy and happiness. And you just see it happen with the power of these mantras that people are chanting. It's a beautiful experience. Yeah.
I talk about, who is it that you're going to feed? Are you going to feed, that good one that lives inside you, or are you going to feed the bad one?
Yeah.
And in that practice, and seeing my clients over the years, those that are stuck in some really dark times and some maybe a lot of negative thoughts and just destructive, and life is never good.
Mm-hmm.
And there comes a point I tell them that, and they keep wondering, when's the good going to come?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost an entitlement. And maybe when we begin to realize that you earn the grace of God versus just be given to. Maybe we're become so spoiled that maybe the word discipline comes in, and I think we'll talk about that a little bit later in the program, about what you're talking about is a discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Disciplining yourself, again, empowering yourself to say that I can create whatever I want to create here, how I want to be here. And I want to remind everybody, this isn't about creating money. This is about something a little more sacred than that. This is something that lives inside of you, your heart. And that what we're doing here tonight is we're talking about finding a way and giving you some tools. I say putting in your sacred toolbox so that you can walk this Mother Earth. You can walk this land that we live on that's been so ravaged by people with, I say, blinders on. And we need to change that. And I'm so tickled to have you here tonight to bring your gift, and all of you to just, I can just feel it in the room here. It's just beautiful. And so we're going to want to move into the part of, you talk about healing transformations. I remember when we had lunch together, you said that was really an important thing for you. And so I'd like to bring that up, and maybe you can explain to us healing transformations.
Yeah, these chants, you don't have to really have life figured out to begin chanting these chants. It's sometimes it really does take kind of getting to rock bottom to have the transformation. And I see a lot of my friends, and in my own personal life, the times that I've had those major transitions or major transformations are when things really kind of squeeze you and challenge you. My teacher used to say, Yogi Bhajan used to say, a diamond is created from the highest pressure of on the coal, on that coal, and from coal can be created a diamond. So it's that pressure, that really creates it.
Intensity.
The intensity of it. Uh-huh. And, you asked me, when did my healing journey start and transformation? Well, of course, I was born into this path, but it also came when my parents, when I was at the age of 8, got a divorce, and it was a dark time for our family, and really, through the grace of the divine, the grace of my mother, I was able to really understand the power of these chants and begin to chant them every night. And that's when my spiritual awakening began, was through those dark times. So I really want to say to anyone out there that if you're having one of those dark times or the days that those come, instead of perhaps saying, oh, you know, why me? And this is terrible. These are the times when the greatest gifts come. If you allow yourself to go deep enough and really believe that happiness is a possibility, that healing is a possibility, that's when these chants really work.
Mm-hmm. When I was living in the temple in Japan, Guruji had a chant, and I know when people first came into the temple, they'd always ask for, well, what does the chant mean? It's like, you know, please translate it. And he would always say, it's in the experience. If you want to know what it means, chant it, and it will show you its meaning.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of times that people have no idea what they're chanting, the meaning of it, and they're just chanting and belting away and having this incredible experience. And you know, it's an amazing thing. You don't have to know intellectually,
right,
what the chants mean.
It's not an intellectual process.
Right.
It's a heartfelt process.
Right, right, exactly. And that's you know, really with our music, you know, we've been touring and putting out concerts and all of these things, and sometimes people ask, yeah, so when are you going to go mainstream? And I say, no way, you know, the mainstream's coming to us. and you know, it really is in so many ways, because it's about vibration, it's about positive vibration, and at the end of the day, that's all anyone wants. And, you know, it's happening slowly but surely with these chants. Eastern chants, you know, from the Sikh tradition and other traditions are becoming, the mainstream is coming.
Yeah, and so for those of you out there who maybe don't even know what do you mean, vibration? You know, it's, for some people that's a stretch.
Yeah.
And so why don't we step backwards, and it's, how about as simple as, how are you feeling today? Are you feeling okay? You know, what's going on inside of you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need some help? Here's some sacred words given to us from the ancestors that if you use them, learn this chant, practice it, it's going to help you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Real simple. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what we're trying to do, because when we feel better, we treat each other better.
Mm-hmm.
We treat the world around us more kind. And so what do we got to lose? You know? Mm-hmm. The path we're on isn't working, so I say to everybody, why you keep going down it? Let's do something different. And so for some of you tonight, maybe you've never chanted before, but I think what we're going to do right now is Sanatam's going to teach us a chant, and let's see if all of you can loosen that tie and loosen your belt, and let's go into the chanting world. This is David Kukula at KPFA at the Traditional Healers Forum from the Four Corners of the World. We're coming to you live from the mothership. This is a live call-in show, 510-848-4425. And now Sanatam Kaur is going to be leading us into a chant.
Rama Dasa Sase Soham Rama Dasa Sase Soham
You beautiful. And this is the traditional healers from the four corners of the world here at the mothership in Berkeley, California, KPFA 94.1 FM. This is a live show. Phone number is 510-848-4425. Call in, and at the end of the show, we'll be answering as many phone calls as we can, because we're here to serve you. And we've been listening to some lovely chants tonight. We've talked a little earlier about the meaning of the Sikh and the secret practice, and chanting, the meaning of chanting, if we can define it. And so then you said to me when we were talking that you wanted to teach a chant tonight. And I went, geez, how brave. And so should we go in that direction right now?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fun. I went to school, Mills College, and lived here in Berkeley for some time, so I listened to KPFA, and I love this radio station, so it's really fun to be on. And this chant that we just did, Rama Dasa Sase Sohang, is the healing chant that the story that I just talked about with the veteran of the Iraq War who is able to finally cry when hearing this chant, who was able to, open his heart. And this chant was one that we do in our practice when somebody needs healing. There's a baby in our community named Olympia, and tonight I'd like to dedicate the energy of this chant to her. She's needing healing, and so you can do this for anyone that you want to send healing to. And then also, as you chant it yourself, the vibration of the chant passes through your being, through your body, and so you get healing as well. And you can do it for an entire country. You can do it for a place. You can do it for the planet. And the way to really do it is just set the intention and feel that vibration in your heart of who you're praying for. And the meaning of the chant, Ra is the energy of the sun. Ma is the energy of the moon. Da is the energy of the earth. Sa is infinity. Sase so hung unto infinity in every cell and fiber, let there be healing. So Rama Dasa Sase so hung. And this chant is available, on my website, and just for people to know, sanatamkar.com, sanatamkaur.com, with the album Grace. But in any case, hopefully people will just learn it from tonight and they, can take it. But if people need to look at the words, you can look at it that way and find out the words that way. So, Rama Dasa Sase Sohang. And when we chant, we sit down. If you're sitting on a chair, you put both feet on the ground because you want to have your spinal column balanced. Or if you can sit in easy pose, in yogic style, kind of Indian pose, that you just want to have your spine straight because the energy of the chanting works with the energy of the spine.
Maybe explain easy pose.
Easy pose. We say in our kids yoga class, crisscross applesauce. You're sitting with your legs crossed and spine straight, and then you want to kind of just tuck your chin in a little bit so you have that straight line from the base of the spine to the top of your head. And with this chant, it has a posture that I'm putting out there to the listeners out there to give it a shot. You don't want to be driving and doing the posture. If you're driving, chant along with us. But, posture you don't want to do.
If you're in a safe place.
If you're in a safe place, do the posture. You have both palms facing up towards the sky. And your forearms are tucked into the rib cage. And as you chant in your heart center for whoever you want to send healing to, you hold the intention of that healing for that person at your heart center.
Why does the spine need to be straight? I know they always accentuate a straight spine. What's the importance of that?
Well, the spine is the... In Chinese medicine, we talk about meridian channels and points and all of those things. And in yoga, we have the chakra system, which are energy centers that are strung along the spine, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So and at each chakra, all of these meridian points gather. Mm-hmm. And they're basically concentrated energy centers of your meridian channels. And so these are all of the energy channels, subtle energy channels moving through your entire body. So they all meet at the spine. So you want to affect your entire being, affect your spine, because that all of the meridians meet there.
So the energy moves more easily when the spine's straight.
Exactly. And with the chants, what happens is when you practice yoga in conjunction with the chants, which is part of our practice, you're able to clear the energy within your body and neutralize the energy at your lower spine and come to a zero point. And this is part of the spiritual path too, of walking in a neutral way, of living in a neutral way. But through
meaning living in a neutral wave. I know I'd get rear-ended if I put it in neutral.
Yeah, meaning being able to maybe find the center of every situation, being in your center in every moment. And so through the practice of yoga and meditation, we work on that capacity. And through the combination of yoga and chanting, when you reach that center point within yourself, then the energy of the chanting can rise up through the spine.
And so when you're centered, that's probably the place where you are at your best.
Yes. Yes.
Strongest, most clear.
Yes.
Instead of reacting to a situation, you can respond from a firm but loving, kind way.
Right. Right.
Defend versus attack.
Right. Yeah.
So the center being a really important place.
Yes.
Martial arts, same thing, right?
Right, exactly. So yeah. We, with the sacred chanting, we have to be at our center.
Okay.
From the very beginning.
So that's the starting point.
That's the starting point.
I know in some of the breathing techniques they have you put your hands just a little bit below your navel as your center point. Is that the same center point in the Kundalini, or is it different?
Yes, we call it the third chakra, mm-hmm. and this is the place of our capacity to be courageous, our capacity to really. The element is fire.
Okay.
You know.
So though for those who need a little more courage in their life, this is a way to feed yourself, feed your body that energy through a chant, feed your body that those sacred words, and let it respond with courage. Let it be a natural, organic process.
Right. And the sacred chants work with all of the energy centers that run along the spine. So you have the courage, that's at your navel center. You have your heart center, that's compassion. You have your throat center, that's the capacity to communicate. Your third eye, that's the capacity to be intuitive. The third eye is the point between the eyebrows. And then the crown chakra, the top of your head, is your capacity to live in royalty, to feel your connection with the divine at all times. So these sacred chants work with all of those energy centers to rejuvenate them, revive them, to give them life and to nourish them just within the chanting itself.
Huh?
Don't you want to do it
now?
Did I do a good sales job?
I think so. I said, can I buy a few?
Yeah.
So how are we gonna teach this? Do you want to spell this chant out and then we'll all go back into it? So
yeah.
Does everybody have a pen and a piece of paper there? Get your pens or sharpen your pencils.
Ready.
Yeah, we're
That's
gonna
right.
spell it.
Yep.
So even my little granddaughter, Isabella, she can write it down. And when Grandpa comes home tonight, he's going to look at how good she did. And she can chant it for me. And so, okay, you ready?
That's
Here
right.
we go. So go okay. ahead. Sanatam okay. Kaur. This is the traditional healer from the four corners of the world at the mothership here in Berkeley, California, KPFA. We're learning about some traditional medicine that originated in India and is now here in America by many people here on the West Coast. I know there's a lot of Sikhs here practicing in the Bay Area. Also down, now you're down in the Santa Cruz area.
Mm-hmm.
And so We've come to that place of the show where Sanatan's teaching us how to chant and feed our souls, give us some good food.
Yeah.
So here's the chant. She's going to spell it out for us.
Yeah, here's the chant. This is the first time I've ever done this before. Love it. So Ra, R-A, Ra is the energy of the sun. You're calling forth the energy of the sun into your being. Ma, M-A, the energy of the moon. Calling forth the energy of the moon. Da, the earth. Being grounded. D-A, connecting with the earth. Calling forth the energy of the earth. Ra, ma, da, sa. S-A, infinity. Feeling within yourself that anything is possible. Feeling for whoever needs healing that anything is possible. Why not ask for the miracle, right? Sa. And then again we say sa. Again we say infinity, S-A, why not? Repeat it again. Say so hung, S-A-Y. Say so, S-O, hung, H-U-N-G, hung. And when you say the hung, you want to pull in the navel a bit and bring, because the hung is what really pulls in the energy of the chant into your being. And it's like the period. It says, yeah, I really meant this. And it's coming and I'm feeling it. So, yeah, we will chant it with everyone now. And I invite you to bring your palms up facing towards the sky.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're positioning ourselves. We're all trying to sit up real straight here down at the radio station, and we're struggling a little bit. And maybe you're struggling at home a little bit too, but we're all going to get there. So here we go. We're going to do that sacred, this is a chant from Sanatan Kaur.
Sa sa si so hang ra ma da sa sa si so hang sa
Welcome back. This is David Kukla on the Traditional Healers from the Four Corners of the World. You were just listening to a chant by Snatam Kaur. He's been with us this evening talking about the healing powers of chant. And we're going to now move into another realm that she does also on a very regular basis, yoga, Kundalini yoga. And it seems like wherever you go these days, there's yoga, little yoga studios everywhere. And I know there's a strong tradition in yoga, and that I'm just sort of wondering, Snatam, if, you know, what is the traditional practice of yoga, and what is Kundalini yoga? How are the modern day practices different, or are they different? What's your experience in that?
Well, I've grown up with Kundalini yoga. Kundalini, sometimes people think it's a kind of a pasta.
The spaghetti sauce?
Kundalini. Got to make a few jokes on the air, right? It's terrible.
I think so. Huh? Hang loose, right?
Yeah, Kundalini yoga is it actually means the lock of the beloved, the curl of the beloved. And it's the gentleness of that. And it's really about the energy that rises from the base of the spine to the top of the head. When we have a Kundalini awakening, it's really about our consciousness awakening and becoming awake and aware to the possibilities of life. And it's the practice of Kundalini yoga is thousands of years old. Yogis meditated in the mountains and observed animals and nature and themselves, and developed these very specific scientific techniques that were passed down in the form of Kundalini yoga. It was done just one master to one student.
Mm-hmm. And the old way.
And our master Yogi Bhajan said, this has got to be for the masses, because he experienced such a deep healing himself. And so Kundalini yoga is really about tapping into healing, but it's a physical, there's a physical aspect where you're doing physical yoga postures. There's a lot of breath work, long, deep breathing, a breath of fire, rapid breath. There's chanting, tons and tons of music. And there's also the quietness, meditation, and the stillness as well. So it encompasses a lot in its practice. And then, as I was talking before, there's Kundalini yoga, especially for women, for men, for children, for everything. To me, about life, I'm a head over heels in love with the Kundalini yoga practice. Every morning I practice about 30 to 45 minutes in the morning. And it just gets me in tune, you know, loosens my spine and a flow, and practice long, deep breathing in the morning. And it changes your energy. You know, it's...
How you feel?
I feel great.
I mean, you might wake up grumpy, and then by the time you're done, you're going, geez, life's good.
That's right. That's right. And when you miss a day, that's, you know, awful. But because you have this such a, you know, sense of enjoyment of your being, of yourself. You know, a lot of people say, well, I just want to, you know, somebody just give me a pill, a magic pill, you know, and I want to... all my problems to go away or whatever. And Kundalini yoga is really about, all of your problems will go away, but let's begin a daily practice. Let's start, you know, with the daily practice. And and that's really, you know, I encourage anyone out there, I don't care if you're Kundalini yoga, this yoga, that yoga, or no yoga or whatever, but begin to bring in the sacred every day.
Meaning?
Tap into your spiritual path, tap into your light, tap into, do something, play piano, you know, do something that taps you into your soul every day on a regular basis. Create a rhythm for yourself, and that will change your life.
So when you say tap into your soul, something that makes you feel good.
Yeah, exactly. And
just something that makes, if it's putting some salt and pepper on those eggs, put that salt and pepper on.
Shoot. Well, I don't know if I said that.
I'm stretching it.
You're stretching it a little bit. You know, something that's going
to
like...
I have a tendency to do that.
Yeah, something's going to have a real positive effect. Although I do, pepper and salt's good, but yeah, something that's going to have a positive effect on you, you know, do it, start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the
you mentioned awakening.
Yeah.
The awakening of this Kundalini energy. Now, I know there's some people out there going, what is that girl talking about? And why would I want to do that? Right? Especially a lot of my brothers up in Montana.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know.
Can you break it down?
I'm going to try to.
Tough?
Yeah. You know, maybe it's not. No, yeah. It's not. Because okay. if you look at a child, right, their energy is clear, right? They're happy. They're in a place of innocence.
Playful.
Their Kundalini is in full alignment. They're awakened to the divine. Mm. And as adults, you know, as we grow older, we naturally lose that ability.
Mm-hmm.
So this...
It
declines. So, but in my experience with this Kundalini yoga practice, you can retain that sense of innocence, that sense of flexibility, we'll say, through these practices.
It's a primal energy. It's sort of an energy you're born with.
Right.
That sort of gets covered up by all the stuff that's fed us into us through school and culture and TV and everything. Just sort of puts a little damper on it. So that by the time you're 20, you're just going, give me some drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And people's spines say it all. It's like
going down.
You know, how somebody's posture is complete illustration of their Kundalini, their energy, their life force.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that as you get older, you can get more connected. You can get more flexible. You can retain that innocence. Even if you lost it, you can get back to it. And that's the beauty of these practices, that, you know, it doesn't matter where are you coming from, what you've done, you can start over and you can, you know, turn a new page. I mean, you have to do the practice every day. Like I said, I practice Kundalini yoga myself 30 to 40 minutes a day and do it, you know. But and I feel so much gratitude to have these practices. So it's really... it's really the energy of the spine. It all goes back to the spine.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that you give to your spine, the more you nourish your spine, the more it's going to nourish you and serve you and keep you connected to the divine. And in the spiritual practice, it's all in the spine. It is all your connection with the divine is in your spine. Oh my gosh, that rhymes.
And so... Kundalini yoga and chanting.
Yeah.
So are they separate? Are they the perfect match? Are they the perfect partners?
Yeah, it's like strawberry and whipped cream.
Oh, man, yeah. Give me some.
Yeah, it's the best. You know, the two work beautifully together because through the yoga, you can... bring circulation to your entire body. You can open up all your energy in your body. And through the chanting, they say, the yogis say, the ancient ones say, that you are pulling the energy of the heavens to the earth, into your body. So through yoga, you've prepared your body, you've opened up all the energy centers, and then the chanting brings that divine sweetness into your being, and the experience is amazing. It's beautiful.
So the chanting sort of brings the honey into the body, feeds it, that right. which you opened up through the yoga.
That's right. That's right. And people experience after a Kundalini yoga class, because Kundalini has always incorporates chanting, experience this upliftment, happiness, clearly seeing into somebody's eyes finally after weeks and weeks of not being able to, look straight, but doing the practice and then finally being able to be in your center again, because you've released. A lot of the Kundalini yoga works with releasing dramas and traumas and energies.
And I always talk about on my shows the sacred circle, the body, mind, heart, spirit connection. And a lot of the healing work I've done, I call it mending the sacred hoops. And so that when we work with people, we want to address that whole being. We're not just saying, go get on a spiritual high. We're not saying, just eat some organic foods and ignore the rest. But we want this circle to be balanced. We want this circle to be not only body, mind, heart, spirit, but also connected to our family and community. So there's a lot of overlapping of these sacred hoops. This Kundalini yoga and chanting, is there this body, mind, heart, spirit connection that you've witnessed? Or could you speak just a little bit about that?
Yes, yes. When I'm chanting, and I'll speak to my own personal experience, I experience a really deep sense of healing within myself, and I put myself completely into the chanting experience. And when I do this, that's when the real things start happening. And oftentimes I'll experience myself crying in the middle of a chant because something within me is healing. And God only knows what it is. Mm-hmm. Usually I do know what it is, but sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's just things needing to get released. Uh-huh. And it's, a deep experience, and deeply personal for each person when they're chanting, what they're connecting to, and what they're healing within that experience of chanting.
So there's, in this healing experience, it's probably one to let go consciously of those things, those people, those situations that you need to let go of. But I think you were also speaking about the invisible, that which is living within us, that is coming out in a natural way through the spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. And so that the body has this inner desire to be complete here, to be whole.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you see it?
Exactly, yes. And also the chanting creates a protective force field, creates an energy around us that naturally just protects us. We walk out the door into our lives. We have this natural energy protection around us through the sacred chanting that shifts the energy, so that it's as if your life unfolds before you through the grace of the chanting, and life has a flow. And I do really believe in these chants that they do that.
Sort of reminds me of, please God, show me the way.
Exactly, yeah.
And so with that, this is David Kukla speaking with Sanatam Kaur, having a beautiful evening here and some chanting. This is the Traditional Healers from the Four Corners of the World on KPFA 94.1 FM, stream kpfa.org. And now we're going to bring you a very, very special chant by Prabhupnam Kaur.
Satnam ji, Satnam, Satnam, Satnam ji, Satnam, Satnam, Satnam ji, Satnam, Satnam, Satnam ji.
Guru, Vahe Guru, Vahe
Welcome back. This is David Kukla on the Traditional Healers from the Four Corners of the World, and we just heard a beautiful chant by Prabhu Nam Kaur, Sanatan Kaur's mother. What a pleasure to have her here. You got quite a teacher there, Sanatan.
I know it.
And so here we're going to spend a few more minutes just talking, and then we're going to take some phone calls. I'd like to, before we do that, I'd like to spend a couple minutes talking about discipline and the importance of practicing every day. Do you need a teacher, you know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of these practices are just, you know, teacher-driven, and most of all of our old traditional healing practices, you know, you had a teacher. You know, I know I've had, that's how I learned. I didn't learn it. You learn how to add in school, but you really know how or learn how to live when you have a teacher. You can learn how to apply it, how it works. How can you do it in the absence of a teacher?
Yeah. You know, in our tradition, we have a phrase, Guru Prasad, and it means the grace, by the grace of the Guru, and Guru is essentially teacher. It's that one who brings you from lack of consciousness, which is Gu, and then into consciousness, which is Ru, Guru. And yes, you know, the having this touch, having this an enlightened being reach out and give you the assistance and give you the teachings and give you the capacity to really connect is key. And it doesn't matter, you know, what your tradition is, but having this grace, you know, and in our tradition, in the Sikh tradition, our guru, our divine teacher is actually lives within the sound current. And in the Sikh...
Meaning?
In the Sikh tradition, all of these chants that we do are in the sacred writings text called the Siddhi Guru Granth Sahib. And The teachings have been passed down through sacred poems and poetry.
The oral tradition.
Exactly. So this 1,430 pages, and we take a sacred reading and get guidance for life, death, whatever, and that's what we take our guidance from, and that is our guru, and that's the light that we reach towards. And I see this in so many traditions and believe in it, because it's, you know, through, as human beings, we live on this earth. But we're spiritual beings first, and these sacred teachings from all walks of life give us the capacity to connect with the light, that same light that our ancestors were so perfectly connected to. Mm-hmm. And there's a power in that, you know, kind of, if we forget our ancient ways, then we will have no way to move forward. Mm-hmm. So being connected and reaching for the teacher, I think is right. Important.
So find a good teacher.
Yes. Yes.
And then the practice. You've been talking tonight about it needing the benefits of a daily practice. Reminds me of when I was working with Bruce Elijah, Oneida Clan of the Iroquois Confederation, and he would always say in our circles, how many of you have greeted the morning sun today?
Mm.
How many of you greeted the sunset today?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you do that when you go home, when we leave here? And I'm not telling you to do it. And so again, that need to discipline ourselves, to practice these teachings that have been passed down, because it's the teachings that have been passed down to us creates our culture. That is culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it thrives. That's how it sustains itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we, it's almost on a certain level, our duty, mm-hmm. if you will, to greet that sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
to practice this Kundalini yoga that's been passed down. Mm-hmm. It's a way of preserving and maintaining and furthering it.
Yes, and you know, we have to prioritize our lives to live in the way that we want to be. So if you want to be connected with your spirit, you want to be connected with your heart, you want to be living in a place of courage and strength, well, you have to do things every day that bring you to that place. And we so often say, well, you know, I'll let my spiritual practice slide today. I've got to do so many things, or I've got to go here, I've got to go there. And we live like slaves in the car and the work and the this life, this lifestyle of modern day is very stressful. And if we
grinds
live,
on you.
It grinds on you. So with a spiritual practice, you take yourself out of the grind. And you connect with the spirit, you uplift yourself, and it's important to do it every day.
Well, thank you for those words of wisdom, little sister. And now we're going to be taking a short music break. This is David Kukla at the Traditional Healers from the Four Corners of the World here at the Mothership, KPFA 94.1, Berkeley, California. When we come back in just a minute, we're going to be taking your phone calls, 510-848-4425, 510-848-4425.
Kan satnam satnam ji, vahe guru vahe guru vahe guru ji, vahe guru vahe guru vahe guru ji, ekon kan satnam satnam ji. Konkar Satnam Satnam Ji. Vaheguru 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 Ji. Vaheguru 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 Ji. Konkar Satnam Satnam Ji. Ekonkar Satnam Satnam Ji. Vahe Guru Vahe Guru Vahe Guru Ji. Vahe Guru Vahe Guru Vahe Guru Ji. Ekonkar Satnam Satnam Ji. Ekonkar Satnam Satnam Ji.
Welcome back. This is David Kukla, the Traditional Healers from the Four Corners of the World, here at KPFA 94.1 FM. We have special guest Natam Kaur with us this evening talking about the sacredness of chant, yoga, and meditation, and how it can help heal you, how it can make a better life for you here. And we got Hank on the line. Welcome to the Sacred Circle, Hank.
Thank you. You know, I'm sitting here in my car. You two have brought me home. More ways than one this evening, and Well, actually, this might be quite a miracle with trying to do this in those postures. No, I wasn't doing that while driving, but I wanted to thank you so much. I found some good teachers tonight.
Oh, you're welcome, Hank. Thank you for calling in.
And I'd just like to add also, as a reminder for all of us, it's not just for us, this discipline and this practice and chant and song and letting our being sing, but for those around us and especially for our children.
That's right.
For us to be good examples.
Yes, we're doing it for our children, Hank.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if we sing and share the joy and they see our good example instead of us just being in our grind. And
yeah.
Anyway, you've brought that to me. I'm taking that into my family now. Thank you. And
okay.
I look forward to tuning in next week.
Sing on your way home, brother. Thanks for calling. Ruby. Welcome, Ruby, to the Sacred Circle.
Hi, David.
Hi.
I just wanted to let you know that I really enjoyed the program tonight, and I'm glad that I listened in, taking a lot from it. And I actually just went to a yoga class this morning, coincidentally. But I had a great day because of doing that, and I think the chanting is going to help me even that much more. So I just wanted to thank you and your guest. I can't pronounce her name. Sorry.
That's all right, Ruby. Thanks. This is Sanatam, and I'm really happy to hear you. You dove in and took that yoga class today. Right on.
Yeah. Where are you located? I'm just curious. You talked about the temple and everything. I just wondered.
I live in Santa Cruz, and my website is sanatamkaur.com, sanatamkaur.com, and we have a number of local events coming up, actually a workshop July 19th through the 21st, where we'll really dive into one chant in particular for healing and miracles. So, and my mom lives in San Leandro and has a number of local things if Santa Cruz is too far for you. And she's at the, you can reach her through her website, satsantokh.com, SATSANTOKH.com. But we have a number, we're locals, we live here. And so we have a number of things going on.
Okay, thank you, Ruby. See you soon. Obeya, this is David. Welcome to the Sacred Circle. I can't hear you.
Yeah, David. Obeya.
Obeya. Welcome, Obeya.
I give thanks and praise to you.
Obeya, this is David. Welcome. Thank you.
Turn on your radio, please.
David, thank you so much.
I can't hear you.
I just said...
Obeya, turn down your radio, please.
Give thanks and praise to you. Just listen to your profound statement and knowledge that come up with a good chant for the world and for the people mind, because out here in this country here, there's so much stress, as what you just mentioned earlier, and so much pollution and deceiving, and right now people most in fact Muslim had lost their mind because so much vanity and sanity out here, to where they're not listening to what spiritual gift is all about, pretty much. You know, the church is going backwards. Almost everybody's going backwards, pretty much, except the real people, the Most High.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling in, and, you know, stay on that high road and keep seeing the goodness in life. Thank you. This is David Kukla at the Traditional Healers Forum from the Four Corners of the World on KPFA. Mamadou, you're on. Come on into the Sacred Circle.
Oh, okay. I am, you said?
Yeah, turn your radio down.
Okay. Hello?
Yes, that's better.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, this is Mamadou. I said, Dez, I want to talk to Dez.
Dez? There is no Dez.
I mean, the show right now is on the radio.
Sanatam Kaur?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you this evening?
Good. This is Mamadou. I really, really appreciate the show tonight.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks for joining us.
It's amazing. I wanted to be sure. So I was waiting for that. I think I heard David Kwakwa a couple of months ago, something.
Thank you.
And then I definitely appreciate the show, you know?
Okay, well, thank you for calling in and keep spreading the good word, eh? We want to remind you that there's going to be March 16th, the Curcolo Cultural Mission Cultural Center is going to present Viva la Vida, Teatro en Español at 2868 Mission Street, San Francisco, California. Also, phone number 415-821-1155. Glenn, this is David. Welcome to the Sacred Circle.
Hey, David. Thanks for taking my phone call. Yes, Natan, what a pleasure to hear you today. I have been to a couple of your concerts in the past few years, and I never knew you were local. So nice to be able to go to some of your events, and I live in San Leandro myself.
Oh.
And my question I have for you, you know, you've been doing this your whole life. I'd like to hear your comments about how you feel about the kirtans, the chanting being so popular. You know, we have the Bhakti Fest, we have Krishna Das on the Grammys.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that these days?
Yeah, well, it's the time. You know, it's time for the light of these chants to get out there. And not everybody is perfect, but the light of the chants, I believe, will take care of it, including myself, you know, in how we bring sacred tradition out. But I have a very strong faith in the power in these sacred chants to correct anything and to keep things sacred.
Thank you for calling. We have to move on. The phone's ringing off the hook here. Sorry to have to cut it sort of short. Leif, you're on the line.
Hello?
Hello, this is David. Welcome to the Sacred Circle.
Oh, hi. I was, your guest had said about that you had, it's pretty obvious, I guess, that you need to do it every day, that the yoga that she does in order to feel what she was feeling. And, I really think that's important if you're under stress or whatever, even if you're not, that most of what you, most of the time that you're here should try to be being connected rather than a smaller part of the time. And I recently have been doing transcendental meditation, and I just started in the morning, and now I'm doing it fairly continuously, and it's just really working for me very well.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, thank you for that. And keep listening to our show and go check out Sanatam Kaur's website. You can see some of her coming events, and please sign up and come have some fun. So we have Joseph on the line.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
I have a
$5 question, and hope it's not offensive to you at all, but I was wondering about the Sikh tendency to wear a knife at all times. And specifically, you know, I know that it's important to honor the heritage that brought the tradition down through the centuries, but I was wondering if, in light of this Aquarian age that we are entering, if the willingness to shed blood, even the blood of the guilty, will be something that will put in the past, and if that might be something that will run its course in time.
Thank you for that question. We wear the kirpan, as you're saying, and yes, that is correct, and it's to always connect with the spirit and the heart first, and only to remain in that connection and not for any other purpose.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We have to, we got to sign it off here, folks. Sorry, we're running out of time. We could probably go on all night. This is David Kukla on the Traditional Healers from the Four Corners of the World. We want to thank Miguel Molina, our executive producer. We want to thank you, Pedro, our chief engineer, and all of our guests who came in here tonight in support of Sanatan Car. Thank you, Clay Schmitz, for the video work that you've done. Our next show is April 19th. Airs from 8 to 10 with a conversation about food as medicine with Lana Farson, a licensed acupuncturist in Lafayette and practitioner of Chinese medicine. And please go to your website,
sanatamkar.com, sanatamkar.com. We have a workshop coming up local here July 19th through the 21st to realign with the light.
Thank you, everybody. Blessings to you and your families.